our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
It's a clusterfuck of mediocrity in the New York backfield, so.
All right, now I'm getting angry. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Or Leviticus, if you're Justin.
Leviticus.
Lavernius.
Lavernius, yes.
Lavernius, Leviticus, right. Old Testament, New Testament.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
By the way, if you were ranking on Fantasy Pros, you would be lower than anyone else in Fantasy Pros.
Well, I need to submit my Fantasy Pros ranks then.
Give a crap about football. I don't even know why I'm doing this podcast.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 74 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Eli Rosenzweig. Eli, how you doing?
Doing great. Don't draft any rookies. So my time here is done. Thank you.
That is the theme of the show today. We are going to be talking rookies. And whenever I like to talk rookies, I like to bring on Scott Bogman from the In This League podcast because he does a college fantasy football podcast, so I don't think there's anybody more in the know in the fantasy football industry than Scott Bogman on the incoming rookies. Scott, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing really well. You know, it's only like 115 out here today, so
Jesus,
fantastic.
You like literally live in hell.
It's not cold cotton.
Scott, why don't you tell people where you can be reached on Twitter and then what you do over it in this league?
Yeah, you can find me on the Twitter machine at Bogman Sports, inthisleague.com. We do podcasts. We have football. We have baseball. We have college football. We have basketball. We have hockey. We have writers. We've got all kinds of fantasy sports stuff. We've got you covered with whatever you're looking for. So come on over and take a gander at what we got, or take a listen. We got podcasts, we got writers, we got everything.
And you just had Mike Warner on your guys' baseball podcast. Definitely encourage you guys to go listen to everything they've got over there at the In This League podcast network. Our best friends in the industry, and it's a pleasure to have you back on, Scott.
We've got Hell Week, is what we call next week, because we're doing one football episode every day, Monday through Friday.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, you get it.
Yeah, you know, this is my fourth podcast this week.
Right. it's doing and editing five podcasts is just, it's a lot of work. So,
well, and you,
you know, we love our listeners.
For those who haven't listened to the In This League podcasts, they do a lot of editing and their stuff is really clean. It's probably the best produced stuff in the podcast industry. It is like the antithesis of us, where I virtually don't do any editing whatsoever.
You do editing, but you don't have to bleep curses. You
know? Yeah, no, I just throw some intro and outro music on this shit, and it's good to go.
Yeah, we don't make any mistakes.
God damn, every 30 seconds. So I'm like, come on, man. Come on with that.
Yeah, that's the main reason we don't bleep, is because I just don't have fucking time to go through and take out all the F-bombs and things that I drop.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you on, though. So.
Hey, I always have a great time when I join you guys.
I love doing shows that I don't have to edit. So
there you go. Let's go ahead and jump right into some news that has broken since we last recorded a couple days ago. Anquan Boldin signs with the Lions. Scott, what are your thoughts on Boldin with the Lions now that they have a kind of a legit number two wide receiver?
I thought it was a little strange because I don't think he comes in there and immediately jumps into the number two spot. I think if he would have gone somewhere like New Orleans, where it was between a second-year guy and a rookie, he would have immediately got the number two spot. If he would have went to Cincinnati, he's better than Brandon LaFell, even at 1,000 years old. But I don't think I would put him ahead of Marvin Jones in the depth chart, so I think it dings Marvin Jones and Golden Tate a little bit, but I think that Bolden's just going to be a number three.
Eli, do you agree with Scott, or are you a little bit more optimistic?
Yeah, I agree. More of a bye-week filling kind of guy back into your roster. If someone were to get hurt, then Bolden becomes more interesting, but I think the future of that team at receiver is definitely Tate and Jones. He's just, you know, veteran depth.
I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic on Bolden. I think he does kind of emerge as the number two. He's a guy with just steady hands, steady output pretty much every season. He's a mature guy. He keeps himself in great shape in spite of the fact that he's a little bit older. I think he could surpass Jones on the depth chart and be the number two guy there. But I can see why you guys are a little bit more sour on the move. Also signing, Ryan Fitzpatrick re-signs with the Jets. They gave him a 7 p.m. deadline to sign the deal. He showed up to the facility at 6:59 to sign it. Like a complete douchebag, but the but the quarterback is back with the Jets. I don't think anybody was that worried that it wouldn't happen, but it's finally here. What is Fitzpatrick's value for himself, and then the value for the rest of the team, Eli?
I don't think anything changes from last year. It's pretty much the same offense, except Matt Jones is at running back now. I think he's a top 12, 13, 14, 15 kind of guy. Not a guy you want to start regularly, but a guy that you can fill in there and he'll hold down the fort for you. So if you're not really pleased with your starter, then get a guy like Fitzpatrick as your backup. So, I mean, Marshall's still a stud, so he's going to produce like always. And Eric Decker's going to be the consistent guy that gets 80 catches for 1,100 yards as well. So nothing much changes over there, really.
And I think you meant Matt Forte instead of Matt Jones, right?
Did I say Matt Jones?
Yep, but it's all right.
I had the Redskins on the mind just because, Matt Jones is so good.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, don't worry because I'm going to be butchering a bunch of rookies' names. This is like my favorite episode of the fucking year.
Yeah, we won't call you out at all when you do it.
No, that's not something we do. We definitely don't mention that you said Jemias.
No. That is his name, Scott. Scott, what's your thoughts on Ryan Fitzpatrick going back to the Jets?
Well, it's... I think everybody was a little worried for Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. Not that they couldn't be successful with Geno Smith, but we saw how successful they were with Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. So it gives them a bump. I mean, Fitzpatrick himself still, like Eli said, he's a backup quarterback, probably no matter how deep your league is, unless you're in some 20-man league or something. I think even possibly in 16, he's a borderline, If you get him and somebody else down there, like a Mariota or, Joe Flacco or somebody, then, maybe he's a starter every other week. You play the matchups. But I think the big impact is for guys like Matt Forte, for Brandon Marshall, for Eric Decker, Jason Morrow, guys like that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you guys. I don't think it... I didn't adjust my ranks for him not being there. I just assumed he would be there at some point. But it's definitely a little bit of relief that he actually did sign and he's not just sitting out there on free agency or signed with another team like the Broncos. So good news for all the receiving options. And I think a little bit for Matt Forte in New York. Let's go ahead and move on to just a couple quick questions. Since we're talking rookies today, I thought it'd be interesting to have just a little bit of a discussion on kind of how you approach dynasty and keeper formats in terms of like startup leagues or even kind of leagues that have already been in existence for a little while. How much do you bump up rookies? So in a dynasty or keeper format, do you draft for immediate impact or long-term impact? Scott, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think for the most part, you want to draft for impact right now, and it's tough to bump up rookies. I think I wouldn't say that I bump rookies up. Maybe I do a little bit more as I take the older guys down a little bit, for a dynasty draft. But it's really hard to evaluate a guy that you've never seen play before. You expect something out of it. Like, we all expect Ezekiel Elliott to be a really, really good running back. But you don't know, so you can't put him one overall or anything. You would have to put him at best in the middle of the first round just for the pure fact that you don't know him. And I think it works for everybody else like that, too.
Eli, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also think it obviously depends on what you're doing. If you're rebuilding, then maybe you don't focus too much on production this year and you look more long-term. And if you're going for the title, maybe you take a guy a little bit earlier if you think he's a get playing time in year one. So, I mean, you just got to balance what your team needs and what's on the board.
I agree with you guys that I don't bump up the rookies very much. I tend to draft in Dynasty and Keeper Leagues with my redraft ranks. So I don't really make any adjustments. If there's a tiebreaker for me, if there's two guys I'm really, really close on, then maybe I'll go with the younger guy. I'll go with the rookie in that kind of regard. But I think especially in fantasy football, and I do this in fantasy baseball as well, I just go by my redraft ranks and worry about the future in the next year. Things change so quickly anyways in football that I'm not worried about it. You know, rookies burn out in 3 or 4 years sometimes, so or even less than that in a year.
Yeah.
So it's just not worth it to me to bump guys up or even down too much in Dynasty leagues. It can work out really well, or it can work out not so well. The league, Dynasty league that Eli and I are in is actually now the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty Football League. My first 2 years in the league, I competed because I used redraft ranks while everybody else was taking kind of risks on rookies. And then at year three, I just completely bombed. All my guys were super old. I think I had like the average age of Antonio Gates on my roster. So,
Justin, it's funny that you said you did really well year one and two, because I remember winning the title in year one and year two.
Yeah, you shouldn't have, but you did.
I won the regular season in both years too.
Yeah, you still shouldn't have.
I think I kind of earned it.
No, you get nothing, Eli.
You know how you say rookies burn out after a couple years? We're only in year two of Fantasy Benefits, and I think you've already burned out.
This is very true. But I burned out way before I even started this. So.
Yes, that's accurate.
Let me ask you guys one more question. In Dynasty Leagues, let's talk about in terms of a startup Dynasty League or even just kind of a yearly draft after the startup. Is there a certain position that you tend to draft higher than others because they last longer? Scott, what are your thoughts on this?
Wide receivers and quarterbacks especially. If you can, in a startup, if you can get a good quarterback that's going to last a while, it really, you know, it's just something you don't have to worry about. I think in redraft, I'm much, much more willing to wait on a quarterback because usually, especially this year, there's so many good options. You can wait and you can kind of spot start, kind of like we, you know, talked about with Fitzpatrick a little bit earlier. But in a dynasty format, if you can get a Luck or, you know, even Aaron Rodgers has probably got a decent amount of years left, Cam Newton, you know, guys like that, elite quarterbacks, I move those up. And I just, it's not really that I move wide receivers up at all. It's that I move running backs down because the position's so brutal. Those guys come and go really quickly. And I don't like taking them in a startup, but I think in a second year, third year, I'm more willing to draft running backs higher just to see who hits because there's so much position or so much turnover in the position.
Eli, are there positions that you kind of grade higher than others?
Yeah, I mean, Scott nailed it. Wide receivers last way longer. Just the fact that we were talking about Anquan Boldin earlier in this podcast just shows you like how long elite receivers can be valuable in fantasy. Meanwhile, there's probably a million examples of running backs that went crazy early in Dynasty that flamed out quickly.
Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's not even what I was talking about. Then they're just a flat-out bust like Trent Richardson. He was, good for 1 year. But then there are, you know, just tons of the examples of like guys like LaDainian Tomlinson who are stud for Dynasty for like a handful of years. That's rare. That just doesn't happen often. So, yes, I agree. You got to move up receivers, move down running backs. And also, in terms of rookie Dynasty drafts, quarterbacks always fall way too far, I feel like, in Dynasty leagues, especially in deep Dynasty leagues. Like, do people just want the running backs and the receivers, and it takes forever for basically any quarterback to go. So if you like a quarterback, you could probably wait a little bit and get him later. So that's what I like to do. Although, I did that with Johnny Manziel 1 year, and that didn't work out too well.
No, what you did with Johnny Manziel 1 year was trade every pick from that draft in the next draft for him.
Willis McGahee was in the same draft class as Anquan Boldin. So was Larry Johnson.
Oh, man.
Wow.
When was the last time you guys talked about them?
Willis McGahee, maybe sooner, because didn't he run over a bunch of people at one point? Larry Johnson, it's been quite a while since I mentioned his name. Let's go ahead and jump into the players we're going to talk about right after this quick break.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition, Number one in fantasy sports for the 8th straight time on Amazon Kindle and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99. That's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.
All right. We're going to go ahead and jump into the quarterbacks. We're not going to talk about every quarterback or every skill position that was drafted in the draft. It just would take too long. We probably won't even get to tight ends, mostly because I forgot to put them on the show notes. But
and they all Connor, suck, except Connor Henry. Henry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like Tyler Higbee, too. He's kind of
I took both those guys in my startup draft this year. I took Henry and Higbee.
I took Higbee in our dynasty draft, and then I actually took Higbee in the SFB 480 satellite drafts.
Did because, he beat you up?
No, but I you know the draft's super deep. It's like 22 rounds, I think 14 teams, tight end went way too fast for me, so I was like, "Yeah, I'm just going to punt this and take three at the end." I do like Higbee as kind of a sleeper guy, but maybe we'll have a different discussion when we get to tight ends.
Yeah, tight ends always emerge out of nowhere, also, and it's probably the easiest position in the fantasy to trade for, I'd say.
That's I completely agree with that. So let's we'll jump into quarterbacks. There were three quarterbacks that went in the first round: Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and Paxton Lynch. I'm just going to throw all three of them out to you guys because I don't think there's a ton of this year impact necessarily. But is there a guy that you really like for this year? And then long term, which one are you picking, Scott?
Well, if I had to take one for this year, it's Jared Goff because, you know, Nick Foles just got released from the Rams. So there's really no one that's going to be threatening his job this year at all. And I think that's kind of why they did it. But like you said, there's no one you really want for this year because, I mean, Carson Wentz is going to be third string. Paxton Lynch, they've already said, has been struggling with verbiage and things like that, so I highly doubt he sees the field. So Jared Goff, if you have to take someone, but he has just no weapons outside of Todd Gurley around him. And with Todd Gurley and, you know, Trey Mason, if he doesn't get suspended, Benny Cunningham, if he does get suspended, behind him, you know, Jared Goff is going to have to just get really, really good at handing the football off this season. And, you know, Tavon Austin is a number one. They drafted Farrell Cooper, who I like, but I don't know. Not a lot to like with this year's quarterback class.
Eli, what are your thoughts on this year's quarterback class for short-term and long-term?
Yeah, I agree there's not much value. If you had to pick someone, I suppose it would be Goff. But in terms of rookie quarterbacks having legit first year value, it takes like a lot of special circumstances to align. You need to have a really special talent, and you need to have good weapons around you. I mean, Winston is probably much more talented than Goff, and he had much better receivers last year, so he was somewhat viable in fantasy from time to time. But I don't think that same situation is with Goff. Obviously, he's got Gurley, but I don't really love his receivers, and I don't think he's as good as Winston.
Long term, I like Wentz the best.
Why do you like Wentz the best?
I feel like I would compare him a little bit to Joe Flacco for the situation. You know, a guy out of a smaller school, got a nice arm. I think he's going to fit in Philly really well with that system. Paxton Lynch has great weapons around him with Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders if he should get the job next year. But Kubiak really runs a run-heavy offense. So while he's got weapons around him, the situation offensively doesn't bode well for him. You know, if Jared Goff could get some weapons around him, he could be okay too. But like Eli mentioned, the two guys that were taken last year, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, I think are much better long term than any of these guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do like all three of these guys long term, but I don't think they have the upside of Mariota and Winston long term either. I think this is the year if you can afford to not draft a quarterback in a dynasty league, it's a great year to do it. Unfortunately, I'm stuck drafting Paxton Lynch at the end of the second round in our dynasty league. But I do like the weapons around him, so that is encouraging, definitely. Let's run into running backs. Ezekiel Elliott is the number one rookie running back coming off the board, coming off in the first round. Eli, you are a diehard Cowboys fan for no apparent reason.
No, I'm a diehard White Sox fan, and Cowboys are my favorite team, all right? I don't give a crap about football. I don't even know why I'm doing this podcast.
Glad to have you, buddy. What are your thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott for this year? Does he deserve to be a first-round pick?
It's really tough to know. I surely understand the appeal. He's really talented. They have probably the best line in the NFL. And also, I feel like they're going to revert back to what they did a couple years ago with DeMarco Murray and just hand the ball off constantly, take the pressure off Romo. I mean, they only have really one elite receiver and a declining tight end in Witten. So it makes sense to pound the rock with that line. I don't think he's got a huge amount of competition. McFadden was good last year, but he's banged up. And Morris is solid, but he's just a good veteran backup. So I think they want Elliott to be the man. They didn't draft him, fourth overall for nothing. So I do think he's going to get every opportunity. It is risky to take a rookie that early, but if there were ever going to be a running back to go off in year one, this would be the guy. So it's risky to do it, and you have to have some balls to pull it off, but it could pay off.
Scott, what are your thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott for this year? Worth the first-round pick?
I think he's at least a borderline. We just had Le'Veon Bell suspended for 4 games. He's going to appeal, but if he does get suspended for 4 games, it's another running back off the board, and running back's already razor thin as far as scarcity for the position goes. So he's got to be right there. I mean, Eli pretty much nailed it. They're going to have to run the ball a lot. They want to keep Tony Romo on his feet this year. They want to keep the defense on the sideline to catch its breath a little bit. So I think Elliott is at least a borderline first-round pick, and I think his value by the end of the year will probably be at least mid first round.
Yeah, I may be wrong, and I was wrong on Todd Gurley last year. I said there's no way I'm taking Gurley as high as people were. I thought it was absolutely insane where people were drafting him. I feel the same way this year about Ezekiel Elliott. I just think that the price is way too high. I love the talent. I mean, the kid is going to be a stud running back in the NFL at some point. I just don't know if it's right out of the gate. I need to see him on the field. Going against professionals, there's a lot of competition for touches in that backfield. That backfield is loaded with McFadden, Alfred Morris. So to me, it is. I think it is a little bit foolhardy and very risky to be taking Ezekiel Elliott in the first round. I don't even have him as in my top 10 at running back. So
you have 9 guys ahead of Elliott?
I have 11 guys ahead of Elliott, and I may move him up at some point.
You got to move him up.
What's the reason? I mean, I get it, but I want to know your reasoning.
It's got to all be because he's an unknown, right?
It's the unknown. I just don't know where, if he's going. If I knew he was getting 75-80% of the touches, then yeah, he's probably a top 5-6 guy for me.
You watched Alfred Morris last year.
I did.
You got to know he's getting way more touches than Alfred Morris,
but
right?
Don't you think that between Alfred Morris and McFadden, we could see 50% of the carries go there?
I think McFadden gets cut.
Oh, do you? Oh. If he were to get cut, then yeah, he would jump up quite a bit, but I'm just not willing to bet on it. And maybe it's a little bit of Redskin homerism that I can't stand the Cowboys having nice things.
Now we're getting to the bottom of this, I think.
But no, I really don't buy it. And if you look at our rankers, we have ranks up already all at friendsoffantasybenefits.com, as well as you guys have ranks over there at In This League. I'm the lowest, but I'm not the lowest by far. Mike and Eli are definitely with him as a top 5 running back, but all the other 3 rankers, me, Ben, and Eric, all have him either top 10 or out. So Eric has him as his 10th running back, Ben has him as 11th, I have him as my 12th. So I think this is a guy that is going to be very polarizing throughout the preseason. And it's a gamble. If you're willing to take that gamble, it may pay off like Todd Gurley did last year, because Gurley was fantastic once he was back on the field and in a full-time role. But I also remember guys like Amir Abdullah last year, where people were drafting him in the 4th, 5th round, and that didn't work out real well. So I just think it's a lot of risk with your first-round pick.
I understand the I understand like the Abdullah comparisons and everything. It's just – Ezekiel Elliott is a...
He's a monster.
He's a different type of talent. He's like an Adrian Peterson-level talent, I think. And by the way, if you were ranking on Fantasy Pros, you would be lower than anyone else in Fantasy Pros.
Well, I need to submit my Fantasy Pros ranks then.
The lowest rank on him is 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to go... Maybe this weekend I'll go submit my Fantasy Pros ranks. Because I am a Fantasy Pros approved ranker.
You know what? This is because Justin was right on Bryce Harper, it seems, and he's just he's doubling down. He's doubling down. He's like, it worked once, it's going to work again, damn it.
There's always one guy to hate every season.
Might as well hate the Cowboy.
Yeah, you know, there we go. Let's move over and we'll talk about Derrick Henry, who's a guy whose talent I really like, but the role seems a little bit up in the air in Tennessee. Scott, what are your thoughts on Derrick Henry this year?
Well, Derrick Henry is absolutely a workhorse. You know, he's a guy that carries the ball over 300 times at Alabama. You know, just a great, great fit for any type of system that you want to run a great running back out of. I don't think that he's a Trent Richardson type of guy. I know, you know, Alabama backs have gotten some flack for that. The recent history of their success. Eddie Lacy's fat. Trent Richardson is terrible and runs into the back of offensive linemen all the time. I think he is a much better talent than those guys. But like you mentioned, the problem for this season at least is DeMarco Murray is a veteran version of Derrick Henry. So where is Derrick Henry going to see carries? I think they're going to split carries probably something like, you know, 60-40, 70-30 early to preserve DeMarco Murray for, you know, down the stretch in those late months and that kind of thing. So I do think he's going to see carries early, but I don't think he gets a big workload this season unless something happens to Murray or he just, you know, he breaks out and you see that he's one of these upper echelon type of running backs, and then you just kind of have to start him over DeMarco Murray. Because like we mentioned before, and that's one of the reasons that a lot of people are high on Elliott too. Like, you just got to use these guys when they have gas in the tank because it gets used up really quick. It's like driving a Hummer with running backs.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Derrick Henry this year?
Yeah, I agree with Scott. I think that I know last year was kind of a lost season for DeMarco, but I think the Titans are going to give him every opportunity to kind of reclaim his goodness, I don't know, for lack of a better term. They paid a lot to get him. They're going to give him the opportunity. Henry will obviously get some touches, but I think Scott nailed it. Henry's going to have to be pretty special, or DeMarco's going to have to be kind of banged up for Henry to get a huge role. But, you know, he's going, what, like the 36th running back off the board? I think that's reasonable. I think he's going to be one of the better backup running backs in terms of fantasy with a good amount of upside. So I don't think you have to pay a huge price to get him.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. The one thing I wonder is if the Tennessee offense with Mariota turns into like a wishbone style Navy offense. Like, why throw?
If that was it, then they would have drafted Keenan Reynolds.
Yeah, but like, why throw the ball? I mean, at this point, just run it with these two guys and see what happens. I don't think Mariota is the best passer in the world to begin with.
You hate that guy.
Yeah, he's very efficient, but he can't throw like more than like 10 yards down the field.
That's fine. Just keep dumping it to Delaney.
Did you take Delaney in the 3-sport draft? Is that why you're saying this?
Yeah, it may have something to do with it.
All right. I like Derrick Henry. I think he's going in a very fair spot. I don't think he's overrated or underrated. It's not like DeMarco Murray is, at least last year, looked like his old self in Dallas. So I don't know if that he can hold on to the role by himself. I agree with you guys that it starts off as his role, with Henry sprinkled in a little bit more. But I wouldn't be surprised to see that role being reversed.
Charlie Casserly on draft day from the jump was saying Derrick Henry is going to take the job away from DeMarco Murray.
And it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that surprising, but I think you gotta assume the veteran gets the role first.
I mean, I can't remember exactly how many yards it was, but didn't Murray have like 6 yards in like 6 games at one point or something like that? Just like ridiculous.
He did not fit. He did not fit
the Philly system.
He didn't injured. Agree with the coaches. It was a total mess there. I think
Chip Kelly doesn't like black people. I know.
I forgot about that. I forgot Chip Kelly's a racist, according to the internet. So,
but yeah, I like Derrick Henry. I like him. I like him short term. I like him long term. I took him as the number six pick in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty rookie draft this year. So I was pretty stoked to grab him there. So yeah, I think he is going to be a guy worth drafting. Especially if for some reason you do end up with DeMarco Murray. But even if you don't, he's a good guy to speculate on at that point in the draft where he's going. Let's move over and we'll talk about CJ Procise. Did I say that right, Scott?
Yeah, Procise. Very nice.
Nice. All right. That's one of the harder ones out of the way. he gets drafted by Seattle. There's a lot of people are really interested in him in terms of fantasy. They don't believe that Rawls is going to be necessarily the full-time guy, that carries may get split. Scott, what are your thoughts on CJ Procise and his role this year and then going forward?
You know, this year I really was excited for him, but he missed all of minicamp with a hip injury. I think he's going to miss a little bit of training camp too. And Thomas Rawls is already getting behind the eight ball. So I think in Seattle, you know, I like Procise for this year late. But I think Alex Collins has a better shot to take carries early than CJ Procise just because he's not getting any reps right now.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Procise? And then even Alex Collins, if you want to chime in there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Procise is dynamic and he's going to be a good pass catcher. But Rawls is, I think still Rawls is going to be the guy. I know he's banged up right now, but he was so good last year. And he's going to get every opportunity to get a ton of work. And also, like you said, Collins, and they got a bunch of guys there right now, so it's going to be hard for Procise to carve out a huge role except maybe catching some passes. So I think maybe he's a long-term guy. If he breaks out, he could be something. But for this year, I think you're asking too much for him to be a consistent fantasy option.
I think the Seattle backfield this year is a really good example of why it's important to follow kind of training camp reports and then watch preseason games, because I think a lot of where the early season value of these guys is going to be figured out in those first couple preseason games and through training camp. And so if I'm drafting early this year, I don't have anything to do with any of these guys. I don't. I mean, like, you can't invest in Rawls and then realize, oh, shit, he's going to be in a committee or he's not even going to be the lead guy. You know, he's coming off a serious leg injury. He's been banged up in the offseason. So I'm very worried about this whole situation, and until I can see these guys on the field, if I've got a draft before mid-August, then I'm probably staying away from a lot of these guys outside of in Dynasty League, because I do think Procise has a nice little future.
Yeah, we went over it in our ranks analysis show this week. I think it actually just went up today as we're recording this, but yeah, Thomas Rawls is 20 on ESPN, and I think he's 27 overall on CBS, and then he's
overall,
and then he's like 40 on Yahoo. So it was funny to see the variance of opinions in Rawls, because like Eli said, he was a stud when he played with Seattle last year. So I mean, I expect big things from him, but if he's not ready early or he's playing hurt, CJ Procise could. I mean, CJ Procise, when he gets fully healthy, is going to take third downs away anyway, because Thomas Rawls is not a big pass catcher. But Alex Collins did everything at Arkansas last year. Him and Jonathan Williams were a great 1-2 punch, and he's got the skill set to take all downs. I think Procise is more of a third down, CJ Spiller, Darren Sproles type of back.
Well, and that would be decent value for where Procise is going. Procise, I believe, is going fairly late, but I'm really surprised about ESPN's ranks. ESPN's ranks this year seem more off than usual, and ESPN.
No, Chris Harris.
Oh, there you go. That makes a lot of sense. I got to reach out to him and have him on the podcast because he's such a great guy. But yeah, and I don't like to bash other industry ranks, especially because they cater to a different type of league than I think than most people who listen to podcasts like ours and yours play in. They cater to standard 10-team leagues. Like, and I don't think that most people who are spending an hour or two, or even more a week listening podcasts on football play in those kind of small formats. You know, and that's why their quarterbacks get downgraded so much. But I was just really surprised just looking at the first round about, like, where they had guys. So, but enough on that. Let's move over and talk about Kenyon Drake. Scott, what are your thoughts on Kenyon Drake this year? Do you think he is going to have much of a role at all?
I was so excited about Kenyon Drake before the Arian Foster signing because Jay Ajayi is constantly hurt. I mean, he was so good at Boise State. He's one of those guys that if, you know, if he was healthy the whole time, he would be in this type of Ezekiel Elliott type of buzz, but he just can't stay healthy. He's always got a hamstring injury. He had a knee injury. I think he was flagged for his knee and had taken an awful lot of teams' draft boards. Ajayi was. So having Kenyon Drake drafting him, you know, a bigger type of receiving back from Alabama, you know, and he does never had a giant workload because Derrick Henry was there. I think he's a perfect type of guy to kind of come out of nowhere. Now they signed Arian Foster. But the good thing is that Jay Ajayi is always hurt and Arian Foster is always hurt. So there is definitely a chance for him to get some reps this year. But I think he's more of a waiver wire ad and not a draftable player, especially in like a standard 12 man.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Kenyon Drake going forward?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Obviously, Foster's going to be ahead of him on the depth chart. I view Drake as more of a receiving threat. Obviously, Jay Ajayi, I'm not a big Jay Ajayi fan. I know a lot of people are. So it's possible that if Ajayi kind of busts a little bit, Drake gets more touches. But I think you're kind of asking for a lot. You need a lot of things to go your way. And I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know, keep an eye on Drake. But I don't see him having much value this year at any point.
Yeah, I was getting excited for Drake as well until they signed Arian Foster, and that just kind of blew up that whole dream. I pretty much agree with exactly what you guys said. I don't think he has a huge impact this year, but Scott does allude to the fact that Ajayi and Foster have serious injury concerns and risk. So I think if you're in a deep league, if you're in a 16-team league, maybe you take a flyer on him and hope that at some point he does carve out a role, but we don't even know what Arian Foster is going to look like, you know, coming off of surgery again. So maybe there's a chance that Kenyon Drake does have a bigger role coming into the season, but I think we have to wait and see kind of what Foster looks like at game time. Let's talk about Kenneth Dixon, and I believe that's a guy that you took in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty rookie draft this year, Eli. So why don't you give us your thoughts on Kenneth Dixon?
You know, I almost requested that we talk about him at the very beginning of the podcast because I was I was just up in the three sport league and I was debating whether or not to take Kenneth Dixon as my fourth running back. I did not do so, but I'm more interested in what you guys think. I just think that Forsett seems to be trending in the wrong direction. He's getting older. He's been banged up. He wasn't that productive last year. Dixon was very productive in college, kind of an all around threat. So kind of a workhorse kind of guy. So I think Dix has definitely got one of the best chances among the rookie running backs to get a lot of touches this year. So I'm excited about that. But I tend to shy away from taking rookies in all formats. But so I think Dixon among the rookie running backs has kind of maybe one of the best opportunities to get touches this year. And he was a real workhorse in college. It was a good receiving threat. So I think he's got a chance to have a real impact this year. So I'm thinking I'm probably going to avoid taking rookie running backs in most cases, but this is one of the guys that I'd make an exception for. He is going pretty late in draft, so I think he's definitely worth the gamble.
The more and more I kind of think about the backfield in Baltimore, the more and more I think Dixon may be the most talented guy there. And I think there's a real shot that he could have the starting role early on in the season, you know, with the caveat that he did leave training camp today injured. So I haven't seen any reports yet on how serious that is. So definitely check that out by the time we post this. Hopefully we'll have some news. But I was a big Buck Allen fan last year. There were moments where he looked adequate, but not really what I thought he would be in the NFL level in his rookie season. I've been long on the I hate Justin Forsett bandwagon. So I think all in on Dixon. I kind of wish I'd come to this conclusion during the first round of our dynasty draft and before my our ranks were submitted. But he's a guy that is going to go much higher in our ranks, or at least in my ranks, at running back Scott, what are your thoughts on Kenneth Dixon?
Not to interrupt, but real quick, I just saw a report. Grade 1 MCL ligament sprain, minor injury. Probably just give him a little bit of time off, but nothing major.
Now that's a little bit of a relief after what I just said. Scott, what is your what is your thoughts on Dixon?
Well, I hate to give the Ravens any credit, but this is a fantastic pick. I mean, Kenneth Dixon is a workhorse-style running back. I think you nailed it when you said he's probably the most skilled running back that the Ravens have. The thing setting him back is that, you know, they spent a pick on Buck Allen last year, and Justin Forsett is the clear starter. So, you know, I think for this season, it's tough to take Kenneth Dixon and say, hey, this is my guy. But I think if you take Justin Forsett and you want to handcuff Kenneth Dixon, that's fine. If you want to take him as a fourth or fifth running back like Eli was contemplating, that's fine. You don't want him as a starter, but he's one of those guys that has the potential to come on late in the year when they finally give him the job, if the Ravens have any type of problems or if Forsett gets hurt. And he can really carry you down the stretch. So he's definitely a guy that you got to keep your radar on for this season and even higher for Dynasty Leagues.
Yeah, he's kind of leading a group of running backs that we're going to talk about here that I think are going to have a pretty large impact at some point during the season. So I really do like Dixon for this year and then long-term as well. Tyler Irvin is a guy that is not part of the group that I was necessarily just referring to. But, Scott, I want to hear what your thoughts on Tyler Irvin are in Houston.
You know, they drafted so many weapons in Houston, it's hard to know where Tyler Irvin has a role. You know, he's a good little receiving back, but they've got Lamar Miller. They've got Alfred Blue backing him up. They've drafted Braxton Miller to kind of be a wild card type of guy. So I'm not really interested in drafting Tyler Irvin in any type of format.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. The only thing that maybe gives me a little bit of pause is Lamar Miller definitely has health issues at times, trouble staying on the field. And, I mean, as much as I've gotten a lot of use out of Alfred Blue in the last couple years, I don't think he's anything special.
I don't think he's anything special either, but they also got Grimes, they got Miller, you know.
Yeah, I don't think Grimes and Alfred Blue make the roster, though.
Yeah, probably not, but I mean, I think Tyler Irvin could be on the bubble, too. If he doesn't impress early, he could be on the bubble as well.
Eli, thoughts on Tyler Irvin?
Anything that keeps Alfred Blue away from ever being on a fantasy team is fine with me. This guy is, kind of like Scott said, he's more of a receiver. He's the lightest running back in the entire draft, and he also led all of running backs in college that were drafted in catches last year, so he's more of a dynamic small guy. Those are really rare to have fantasy impact. You don't see too many Darren Sproles and Danny Woodheads making an impact. So this is a guy to keep an eye on. And like Justin said, Lamar Miller is certainly a guy that does get hurt. So it's possible at some point Irvin makes an impact, but I think a lot of things would have to go his way, and it's probably not going to happen.
His ceiling is like a Chris Thompson-ish type of guy.
Yeah, that's nothing special in fantasy. Let's move on to a guy I really do like. And I think could have a role at some point this year, and that's DeAndre Washington of the Oakland Raiders. Scott, what are your thoughts on him?
I like DeAndre Washington. You know, he is a really, really good receiving back. If you've watched Texas Tech in college football, you know they're a air raid type of team. A lot of dump offs, a lot of short passes, not a whole lot of running from running backs. But he's definitely going to immediately come in and take some third downs away from Latavius Murray, or Leviticus. If you're Justin.
Leviticus.
Lavernius.
Lavernius, yes.
Lavernius, Leviticus, right. Old Testament, New Testament. So it's he's definitely going to be a third down back early in the season. And, you know, Latavius Murray is not a... You know, I would call him a starter, but he's not a fantastic starter. So he's a guy, like, if you wanted to handcuff, I'm not a big fan of handcuffing, but if you wanted to also take DeAndre Washington if you're in a deeper league, I understand the want for that.
Yeah, I had a discussion with our buddy Tejal Bedek over at Razzball today on Twitter, because he was wondering why on Fantasy Pros Latavius Murray was so low in the consensus ranks. And I said, it's DeAndre Washington. I think DeAndre Washington could eat into a large part of his role. It's not like Murray has been immune to injuries as well. He's had concussion problems in the past. He's not a very big guy. There's some pretty strong defenses in that division. I don't want to say that – I don't want to make a mistake like I did last year in talking about Cameron Artis Payne as a guy who would outperform – Jonathan Stewart, because that was obviously a stupid fucking decision. I'm a big fan of Washington, and I think there is a chance that he could, become the number one guy in Oakland, especially if Latavius Murray has any injury issues. Eli, what are your thoughts on DeAndre Washington?
Yeah, I view him as kind of like a scat back kind of guy. I do think they got to try to get him in the lineup because he's. He's pretty dynamic and do a lot of different things, even though he's really small. But again, he's probably not going to be very relevant in fantasy. He's probably going to be one of those guys that's going to need to break a big touchdown to really give you any value. And I hate putting those kind of guys in my lineup. So it's certainly one of the guys that has an opportunity to get some playing time and make an impact. But it's probably not going to happen very consistently.
Danny Woodhead light.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move over and talk about Paul Perkins. Who comes into a pretty crappy running back situation in terms of what they used to have. Is he able to crack the starting lineup in New York, Scott?
Maybe late, but not early. You know, they've got Rashad Jennings is going to be the bell cow. They've got Vereen for passing. They've got Andre Williams for short goal line stuff. So, Paul Perkins early in the season, unless there's an injury, is not going to make an impact at all. Now, if there is an injury, he's another guy that could come on late. His situation kind of reminds me of Kenyon Drake, except for I think Kenyon Drake has a better shot because those guys are injury prone. Paul Perkins has a better shot because guys in front of him are not very good.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's a clusterfuck of mediocrity in the New York backfield. So. I don't really want any part of Perkins in a redraft league. I think you can get him fairly cheaply in a dynasty format. So he's a decent guy to kind of stash if you got deep benches in one of those formats. But I think this year may be a little bit too clouded for him to break out and get any real playing time. Eli, what are your thoughts on Paul Perkins?
Oh, the Giants giving up on Andre Williams. He just had so much potential. Rashad Jennings is solid, but he is 31 and he does have issues staying healthy from time to time. So he's definitely a guy to keep your eye on. He's a talented, elusive kind of guy. So I do think in the second half of the season, he's certainly going to be a factor in fantasy. It may not be a guy you want to regularly plug in your lineup, but he's definitely got the potential to give you some value in the second half. So keep your eye on him. I'm not drafting him, but he's a guy that I'd pick up early if things were turning poorly for Jennings.
All right. I obviously missed someone on our show notes, so I'm going to just circle back to Jordan Howard, who's like one of my favorite rookies in this class at running back. Scott, do you think this is a guy that could really carve out a huge role for himself in fantasy this year?
It's possible. Jordan Howard is a giant. He's really, really big running back, big boy, nice goal line back. But they already have Langford. But the thing is with John Fox is he likes to split carries. I think I read somewhere that only one time when John Fox is a head coach has a running back had 60% of the carries for his team. So Jordan Howard's going to have carries at some point. It's just how valuable is he going to be? Is he going to wreck Jeremy Langford's value by taking goal line carries? I don't know, though. I kind of feel like this is like a this is like a smaller version of the DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry. Like, those guys are better than Jordan Howard and Jeremy Langford, but the carries could be somewhat similar, especially because of John Fox. So I like Jordan Howard. He's a bit of a wild card, as in we don't know what to expect from him early in the year.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Jordan Howard for this year and then moving forward?
I think he's potentially one of the more enticing rookies. I don't think he's got a lot in front of him. Langford's pretty unproven. He showed flashes at times, but he wasn't very consistent. So I do think, like Scott said, Howard's definitely going to get touches. And, if he plays better than Langford, it could trend more in his direction. So I'm certainly excited about the possibility there. But once again, counting on rookie running backs is dicey. Where's he going in ADP? Do you guys know?
I want to say he's going in the top 40 at running back. I think
I'm on Fantasy Pros. He's on running back 52 right now.
Huh?
Oof.
Yeah, that's, I mean, right behind Alfred Morris. So,
yeah.
I think he's worth it at that point, that's for sure.
I think I have him as my 46th running back coming off the board. Eli, you have him at 49. He's our 48th consensus running back. I like him, and I think he fits John Fox's system even maybe a little bit more than Lankford.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we could get a light version of Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, that we saw with John Fox for so many years.
That's fair. I like that comparison.
I think this is exactly what John Fox wants, and I think it really fucks with fantasy owners, Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams have for years. I think so far, at least with ADPs and where I think he's going, I think he is a decent value, and I think this is really going to hurt Langford's value more than anything. He's probably a running back 4 or 5, with potential to be higher, because I think he will get the majority of the goal line work. You know, it hurts me because I really liked Langford last year. I was a big proponent of him. I really thought he was going to come into this year and really establish himself as a top tier RB2. But there's no way he can do that, I think, with John Fox and Howard on the roster. Let's move on and talk about Devontae Booker, who comes into a situation in Denver where guys really underperformed last year. But is he good enough to get a role? Scott, what are your thoughts on Devontae Booker?
Well, he's going to bounce Ronnie Hillman off the roster, in my opinion. So I absolutely think Devontae Booker is going to carve himself out a role on this team. I love this situation because, I mean, Kubiak is a guy that made, you know, Justin Forsett a great running back. You know, Arian Foster was undrafted and an MVP candidate running for Gary Kubiak. And I think Devontae Booker coming out of college is better than Arian Foster and Justin Forsett and those type of guys. And he's certainly better than Ronnie Hillman. And C.J. Anderson's probably going to get the majority of the carries this season. So I don't think Devontae Booker has a giant role this year. But I'm drafting him very high in Dynasty and keeper leagues. I just took him in our IDP, our 30-round IDP ITL Army keeper league. And I think that in Kubiak's system, this is a guy who could be a really, really good running back for many years. He can do everything already. So there's no reason for him to come off the field once he gets the role. It's just, when is he going to get the role? And they're going to go with C.J. Anderson this year. And like Eli said, it's dicey to take rookie running back, so I'm not as big on him in redraft this year. But moving forward, Booker is a guy I really, really like.
I'm going to agree with you, but even maybe take it up a notch. I think he is a guy for redraft leagues this year. C.J. Anderson was unimpressive much of the year last year. I agree with you that he will probably bounce Hillman off of the roster. I see that there is opportunity for Booker to be the main guy at some point this year. I don't know if it happens early. I doubt it happens early. But if he can get a good grasp of the system, if he looks good running behind that offensive line in the preseason, I think Booker's role will be a little bit larger. And I think, like I said, I think if C.J. Anderson struggles, I don't think that they're going to have any choice but to go to Booker as the main horse. So I like him. I think I'm going to probably move him up in my ranks quite a bit, depending on what the first kind of training camp reports are. Eli, what are your thoughts on Booker for this season and then going forward?
Yeah, we all seem to be fairly high on him. I think he's a well-rounded back. He can do a little bit of everything. He's not exactly a burner, but that's fine. And, I kind of tend to give Denver the benefit of the doubt at running back. They seem to always know what they're doing, whether they draft one or whether they get one out of free agency after the draft. So if C.J. Anderson struggles, which is certainly possible, he's looked great at times, he's looked bad at times, so you never know exactly what to expect from him. He's certainly going to start the year as the workhorse, but that could change. So, yeah, Devontae Booker could end up being in a really good situation in the second half, and I think he's got to be on a very good offense if he does get that opportunity. So it could be good for Booker this year.
you just can't really stress enough how good Kubiak is with the running backs. Because, I mean, he's the guy that made TD. You know, he's the offensive coordinator in Denver when Terrell Davis was the hotness there. So,
yeah, it's Kubiak is a running back, a machine. So he's fantastic. And I just love him in that system if C.J. Anderson struggles. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about kind of the last guy before I just ask for some sleeper names. That's a Wendell Smallwood of the Philadelphia Eagles. There was talk like he could potentially be the starter after they drafted him. For some reason, everybody hates Ryan Matthews. Scott, what are your thoughts on Wendell Smallwood and what his role could be like this season and then moving forward?
Well, everybody hates Ryan Matthews because he's always hurt, and even when he's not hurt, he's not that good. So,
and he only has one T in his name. Screw that.
Yeah, why is he Ryan Matthews? That's annoying.
He really is.
Ryan Matthews is a well-rounded back and everything, but like I said, he can never stay on the field. When you look at Darren Sproles, we know what his role is. He's a receiving back. He's not going to be your grinder. He's not that kind of ground and pound guy. And Wendell Smallwood, I think, is more of a Darren Sproles guy than he is a Ryan Matthews guy. But if given the opportunity, why not? I mean, you know, they use running back a lot in Philly. That Doug Peterson is the coach there. He's the guy that, you know, has been in charge of Jamaal Charles the last couple of years. And we've seen Jamaal Charles put up some big numbers when he's not hurt. So it's a good system for running backs, especially for receiving running backs, and that's what I think Wendell Smallwood fits really, really well. So it's nice to see him behind an injury-prone Ryan Matthews, and I think that's why people are high on him, because you could draft him late, wait on him a couple weeks, and then see him blow up when Ryan Matthews has a hamstring strain or something, because he always seems to get them.
All right, Eli, what are your thoughts on Smallwood moving forward?
If Matthews did get hurt, is Smallwood like the... Yeah, I know. All right, yeah, fair enough. All right, so when Matthews gets hurt, what happens? I mean, because I don't think Smallwood's exactly like a workhorse, three-down kind of guy. So, and neither is Sproles, so what do they do?
I think it's between Smallwood and Sproles. I think they just split them, you know. I think one set is Sproles, one set is Smallwood, and Kenyon Barner probably mixes in there somewhere.
Yeah, so I feel like no matter what happens, at best, Smallwood's going to get the second most touches on this team. I mean, he's obviously behind Matthews, and he's probably behind Sproles for now. And then if Matthews gets hurt, Sproles will probably get a little bit more work than Smallwood, at least at the beginning. So I get the things to like for Smallwood, and things could open up for him, but I think it's probably asking too much for him to get a lot of work in year one.
I thought Philadelphia would have been a really great spot for Arian Foster.
God.
Well, I mean, just
would have
in
messed
case,
everything up.
but it obviously didn't happen. I like Wendell Smallwood. I think he is very talented. I think everybody is underrating Ryan Matthews quite a bit, though. So I think it would take an injury, though. Like you said, it's probably more of a matter of when than it is if with Ryan Matthews. I don't know if Smallwood's worth drafting outside of maybe really deep redraft leagues. But he's definitely someone to keep on your watch list and pounce on if something happens with Ryan Matthews. I just want to throw it out to you guys. You guys got any sleeper candidates? My guy, I'll kind of start out at running back with a sleeper candidate. My guy's Keith Marshall of the Washington Redskins. He's one of those guys you're really going to need to watch in training camp and in the preseason games to see what his kind of agility is and burst is coming off of ACL surgery not that long ago. But if he is healthy and ready to go and looks good, I think there's a real chance he could carve out some playing time in Washington, especially if Matt Jones's fumbling problems continue. Eli, any sleeper candidates at running back in the rookie class?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Forget about Matt Jones's fumbling problems. What about his 3.4 yards of carry problems?
I think that was offensive line problems.
Yeah, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it as well. But yes, Matt Jones is exactly established at this point. So, you know, Marshall is in one of the better situations for a rookie running back. And yeah, he's coming off an injury, but he's a really talented guy, and that's why he slipped in the draft. So I definitely think Marshall's got a chance to carve out a role at some point for this team.
What about you, Scott? Any sleeper candidates at running back?
I've got two other ones for you. Jonathan Williams with Buffalo is I don't think that
He's not even the best Williams on the team.
He's not draftable, but you know, the guys you have in front of him, LeSean McCoy always has a hamstring. Mike Gillisley is not that great. Who's the other guy?
Carlos Williams
is fat. And you know, Carlos Williams looks like Eddie Lacy right now. So Jonathan Williams could carve himself out a little role there. You know, obviously, I'm with Eli. I think Carlos Williams can get in shape and be better. But I think that a lot of what you saw with Carlos Williams was a bit of an aberration last year. I'm not a great fan of his. And then Daniel Lasco with the Saints. If you're in a PPR league, you know, I think C.J. Spiller probably gets cut. Mark Ingram is often injured. Tim Hightower's backing him up, who's been bounced around the league a lot. I like Tim Hightower, and I like Mark Ingram. But I think if Spiller gets cut, Daniel Lasco is going to take his spot, and a couple injuries happen, and he could be a nice little PPR option.
Scott, you cut a lot of running backs today.
Yeah, well, you know, just wait. A lot of them are going to get cut. So now they'll be re-signed and picked up at other places. C.J. Spiller is going to have a great job. But, I mean, did you see what they were doing to C.J. Spiller last year? The guy could never see the field. So,
God, you remember when people were drafting him as like a top 30 running back last year?
Yeah, that's why I wasn't very successful last year. I love C.J. Spiller, and he just could not get it together in New Orleans. He just did not like him. Tim Hightower was getting carries.
He burned me enough times in Buffalo where by the time he got to New Orleans, I was out.
Yeah, you know, you got to say something for those receiving backs. I think your guys are going to have one. I like Chris Thompson for this season. He's a nice little PPR option if you're desperate or in a, you know, I play in a lot of 16-man leagues, mm-hmm. So Chris Thompson becomes an option. Theo Riddick's already a decent option, but receiving backs get a little bump if you're in a deep PPR league. So that's why I keep looking at those guys like Theo Riddick and Daniel Lasco, and you know, you would think I'd like Tyler Irvin. I just don't think that there's a lot of opportunity for him this year.
Yeah, those kind of receiving backs not only get a bump, but they always fall in drafts. People just hate on them and think that they're not going to get enough touches to be viable when they're and you always get value on guys like Woodhead and Sproles and all that stuff.
That is true. Let's move over to wide receiver, and let's start with Corey Coleman, who ends up in Cleveland. Probably is their number one receiving option with RG3. What are your guys' thoughts on Coleman? Start with you, Eli, for this year and then going forward.
I don't like the Cleveland receiving situation. First of all, it's Cleveland. Second of all, I like Robert Griffin III. I think it was a great move by them. It's worth the upside. It's worth the shot to try to revive him. But I don't think he's going to be great for fantasy receivers necessarily. And they also drafted like 77 rookie receivers. And Josh Gordon's coming back. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a mess there. Obviously, he's really talented, and he's going to be, you know, the key cog long-term for them, because I'm sure Gordon will be resuspended at any point in the future. So I'm kind of avoiding him this year. There's not a lot of rookie receivers that I think make huge impacts in fantasy, so I'm definitely not touching this one.
Scott, what are your thoughts on Corey Coleman?
I like Corey Coleman, and I was really excited about him being the number one option. But then Josh Gordon got his suspension removed, or you know, down to four games, or however you want to say it. But you know, I it's tough because, like Eli said, there's no way you're going to trust RG3.
How dare you guys? How dare you guys just rip on RG3 in front of me?
I told you I love the move, and I think it's a great move. But let's be real, he's not exactly a boon to receivers, especially.
Yeah, it's a great move if you want to draft Deshaun Watson or Brad Kaya number one overall next year. Is what it is. RG3 sucks. He's not good for receivers, but I still think there's a shot that Josh McCown keeps a starting job. See, I'm not going to cut someone, Eli. I'm going to keep McCown on the roster. So
well, he's not a running back. That's why.
Right, exactly. Running backs get cut. But I don't know, man. Like, as a number one, I like him just for the simple fact that the Browns are going to be down a lot. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. As a number two, I'm not as excited. I don't know if Josh Gordon coming back affects him too much. Maybe even take some double covers off of him. I like him for later in the season than I do earlier in the season, even though he's going to be the number one to start the year. I don't know, man. Like, with rookie wide receivers are even more hit or miss than rookie running backs, so I wouldn't be that surprised to see Andrew Hawkins pass him on the depth chart. And it's just tough to know what to expect from him. So Right now, I would draft him if he falls and falls and falls. If I can get him, like, you know, round 10, round 11, somewhere around there. But I think someone's going to take a risk on him before that. So,
yeah, I agree with you. The Josh Gordon reinstatement definitely kind of gave him a hint. Though I do wonder, and this isn't, I haven't heard this anywhere. This is just me hypothesizing. If Josh, you know, Josh Gordon gets to play in the preseason and stuff, if he looks really good, does Cleveland maybe try to trade him? I mean, aren't they kind of tired of everything that's gone on with Josh Gordon? You know, and like I said in the last episode, I am pulling for Josh Gordon as a person, as a football fan. I really want to see Josh Gordon succeed, but at some point Cleveland's got to go. We just want this guy off our roster and get some value from him. So
I don't think Cleveland can afford to trade talent. So
it's so true.
I don't think they can do it. I think they can threaten him. You know, say, hey, you're on thin ice. Blah blah blah. Okay, whatever.
But he's the most talented guy on that roster, and it's really hard
easily
to do that.
Yeah, I just don't think they can do it.
I just thought maybe, you know, they're still in rebuilding mode. Maybe they could get something for him. But
you get a first-round pick, you know, I consider it. But
I don't think any team other than maybe the Raiders and their track record with felons.
I'm sure Dallas would do it.
Dallas, yeah, there you go. He'd be great opposite of Dez Bryant.
Yeah, he can hang out with Randy Gregory.
I'm sick of Dallas thinking that Terrence Williams is anything more than a decent slot guy.
As far as Corey Coleman goes, I wasn't as high on him as obviously the Browns were coming out of college. I'm not as high on him. You know, if it wasn't for the Josh Doctson news that we'll talk about here, excuse me, in a little bit, I probably would have had him as my number four rookie wide receiver this year. I don't think he's super special. I don't think with the Josh Gordon news, I think he really takes a hit in kind of fall in the rankings. So I'm not in on Corey Coleman pretty much whatsoever. Let's move over and let's talk about Sterling Shepard, who is a guy I'm kind of in on. Kind of gets to assume the number two role most likely, depending on how Victor Cruz is faring in New York. A real threat on the opposite side of Odell Beckham. Scott, what is your thoughts on Sterling Shepard?
Victor Cruz, LOL. yeah, Sterling Shepard is going to immediately be the number two. Here's the thing that I think he could be the best wide receiver, rookie wide receiver in this class for this season, but he's already being overdrafted. I'm really excited about Sterling Shepard. I think Eli Manning is a great mentor to have when you're a rookie. You know, it's much better than having RG3, even if Corey Coleman is better than Sterling Shepard. I think he's set behind just because of his quarterback situation. We know the Giants don't have a great defense. We know they don't have a great running game. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Sterling Shepard. But he's already being overdrafted. So I don't see myself taking him this season.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Sterling Shepard?
I agree with that. I think that Shepard is going to be the best fantasy rookie receiver this year. I don't take him number one long term, but he's in a really good situation. Obviously, the Giants like to air the ball out. They don't have a lot of running back, so they're just going to throw it to Beckham. And Beckham's going to take away a lot of focus on the other side of the field, so Shepard could get some open looks. And even if Victor Cruz is healthy, so what? The Giants play with three receivers practically every single goddamn play. So whether Cruz is healthy or not, Shepard's going to be on the field. So I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. It won't be consistent because not many rookie receivers are, but I do think he's going to be fairly steady in terms of giving you something every week.
Yeah, I like Shepard this year. He is being a tad bit overdrafted for my tastes. I think he's a great guy to grab in Dynasty Leagues, another one of those guys in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League that I did draft.
How many rookie picks did you have in the league?
I had four first-round picks in a 16-team league.
That's what happens when your team sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I traded away all my guys last year. I got, pick two, I had Laquon Treadwell. Pick five, I took Sterling Shepard. Pick six, I took Derrick Henry. And then pick 16, I took Jordan Howard.
And then you got Paxton Lynch late in the second round. That's a good haul.
Yeah, and Paxton Lynch and DeAndre Washington in the second round. So, you know, a lot of the guys I've talked about being high on, I kind of back it up. I go for them in our dynasty draft. Sterling Shepard is a guy I really like. I do worry that he's a little bit overdrafted, but I agree, especially, I was super high on Doctson before the news on him coming out today. But with him being banged up, with Doctor being banged up, I really like Sterling Shepard to be the number one fantasy rookie wide receiver this year. Him and Laquan Treadwell, in my opinion, will be kind of vying for that title, I think. And I don't mind paying the price if you believe in him the way I do. So let's move on to Laquan Treadwell, who is the guy I have ranked as my number one rookie wide receiver now that Doxton's been injured. Scott, what is your thoughts on Laquan Treadwell this year?
Well, Treadwell would be my favorite wide receiver in this class if he didn't wind up in Minnesota where they never throw the ball. He's so good. He goes up and he fights for the ball. I know that, you know, it's camp speak and all that, but he said that he's finally 100% recovered from his broken leg. It was a big deal, his broken leg. And he played last year, but he said he was kind of playing, you know, on one foot, I think was his quote that he said he was playing last year. So he could be a really, really good receiver this year, but they just never throw the ball. They turn around and hand the ball off 40 times a game in Minnesota. Teddy Bridgewater started most of the year and threw 14 touchdowns last year? I don't know. They just don't throw the ball enough in Minnesota for me to get really, really excited about Treadwell. I like him long term, just not really for this season.
For as much shit as I talk when I get things right, I'll take a bath when I do, and I'll eat the crow, eat some crow when I do. And I was, I was completely wrong on Bridgewater last year, so. I do expect him to be a little bit better. I think the move indoors helps him quite a bit, and maybe that gives him the opportunity to throw the ball a little bit more. I see what you mean. There is concerns, but I think Treadwell is one of those guys that even in lesser touches could really have a huge impact, especially scoring touchdowns. So I really like Laquan Treadwell, and like I said, I took him second overall in the rookie draft. For the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League. Eli, what are your thoughts on Treadwell?
Yeah, Bridgewater was very disappointing this year, but I agree with Justin. I do think things could turn around a little bit for him. I'm sure he'll throw more. Now he's got, let's be real, he didn't exactly have stud receivers last year, so that didn't really help him. So now he's got Diggs and Treadwell, pretty talented guys, a lot better than he had last year. So I definitely like Treadwell probably the most long term. This year, I think he's right up there with Shepard, though. I think he's going to get plenty of opportunities, and I do think they're going to throw more, like I said. So, yeah, I like him. I think he's probably getting drafted a little too high, maybe.
Yeah, I could see that, but I still think he's dynamic enough talent that I think it's fair if you want to make that pick. Let's talk about Josh Doctson, who I've been alluding to a lot. My Washington Redskins take him. I was ecstatic when they did. I think he was my favorite wide receiver coming out in this draft. So to end up with my favorite team, I went out and bought a jersey right away, which meant he got injured right away because that seems to happen every time I buy a jersey. He is starting training camp on the PUP list. That has been kind of the news I've been alluding to. I think this puts him really far behind kind of the eight ball in terms of carving out a role in the early part of the season. I had him ranked really highly in my wide receiver ranks. He's going to take a tumble when I update him next week. So if you're looking at my wide receiver ranks going, wow, you're way too high on Doctson. Obviously I was, and like I said, he's going to take a huge tumble next week, especially with the news he's starting on the training camp PUP list. Eli, what are your thoughts on Doctson?
Yeah, I wasn't really high on him to begin with. I know he's really talented, and I certainly like him a lot long term, but even if he was healthy, he was – most likely going to be behind DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. Garçon's not exactly what he used to be, but he still had 110 targets and 72 catches last year and 6 touchdowns. So he was fairly productive. Rookie receivers used to take a little while to get going anyway. So I didn't think he had great prospects for this year. Now the injury just puts him behind the eight ball in terms of reps and learning the offense and all that stuff. So I think this is more of a second half kind of guy, but long term, I definitely like him.
Scott, what are your thoughts on Doctson for this year and then moving forward?
Well, moving forward, I really, really like him because I think Garçon and DeSean Jackson are both on contract years. Is that right?
That is true. I really thought Garçon would get cut, and I think there's still a chance he could.
Man. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen because I don't think they just have Yeah, I don't think Doxson is enough as a rookie, plus being behind the eight ball for him to get cut right
now. I think that's what helps him. But they still have a lot of depth on that,
they
in
do.
That wide receiver core.
I'm a Jamison Crowder fan. I love Jamison Crowder.
I like Ryan Grant, too.
Yeah. Ryan Grant was a big stud coming out of Tulane, too. So I like the options that they have in Washington. It's just Josh Doxson is behind the eight ball. I mean, you know, they have so many great receiving options on this team. It's a lot of the reason why I like your guy Kirk Cousins this year. You know, they've got Garcon, they've got DeSean Jackson, they've got Doxson, Crowder, Jordan Reed, Chris Thompson out of the backfield. There's so many receiving options for this team. But it also sets back all of the receiving options because there's one football. So, you know, I like Doxson moving forward, especially for next year with both those guys being gone. But this year, I'm not taking a risk on him. I'm letting somebody else do it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. With all the receiving options in Washington and then Kirk Cousins. You know, when Kirk Cousins is gone next year, I'll feel really a lot better. I'm just really hoping that extension doesn't come through anytime soon. But I agree with you in terms of the amount of receiving options and how great everything's looking for that in Washington is a reason why that I'm much higher on Cousins as a fantasy quarterback than I am as a real life quarterback. I really hate Cousins as a fantasy or as a real life quarterback, but as a fantasy quarterback, I think he's extremely underrated this year, especially considering like where some of the other the rankers on our site is and in Fantasy Pros. But as far as Doxson, I love him long term. The injury issues this year, I think, is going to put him too far behind the eight ball for him to make a lot of hay at least early in the season. So I would save him mostly for your dynasty drafts, keeper drafts kind of things, and forget about him in redraft. What about Mike Thomas, who is a guy I think could emerge as a guy who is valuable this year in redraft leagues? Scott, what are your thoughts on Mike Thomas of New Orleans?
I like Mike Thomas's skill set, but there's been a lot of issues with his motor. That's what I'll say about him. So he's going to have to do a lot to beat out Willie Snead for that job. I'm not a giant Willie Snead fan. I think Mike Thomas could take that role. And, you know, they throw the ball a whole lot in New Orleans. But I think that, he's another guy a lot like Doxson. Next year, I'm much higher on him. I think he'll eventually take that job away from Willie Snead. Maybe even I would be high on him for the back end of this year. But just to start, I'm just not feeling it this year. I don't think I'm going to be drafting Mike Thomas in too many of my leagues.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Mike Thomas?
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually like Willie Snead more than Scott does, but you know, this is a pretty good situation for him. Like Scott said, they throw a shit ton, so he's going to get targets whether Snead kind of backs up what he did last year or not. So that's good. Like Scott also said, he's kind of slow, so he's not going to break a lot of big plays. What I feel like for Thomas is going to be a second half kind of guy, and also a guy that in a bye week that you can fill in and hope that you get a touchdown, because I think he's going to be a good goal line threat. He's a big dude, got good hands, so I think he's one of those guys that if you try to get lucky and get a touchdown from him, because I don't think he's going to be consistent in terms of yardage or targets.
I think I'm a little bit higher on Thomas than you guys, and that's because I really don't like Willie Snead. I don't think Willie Snead is that talented of a receiver. I think he translated last season for the Saints because of lack of options in the receiving game outside of their top guy. So I think Thomas is a guy who could carve out a role, and I really think that he's a little bit underrated coming into drafts this year. He's not necessarily a guy that needs to be drafted in all formats, but he's definitely someone that I'm keeping on my watch list or even using kind of a last round pick on in deeper formats.
Man, no love for Willie Snead.
No, I really don't like Willie Snead. I don't believe I ranked Willie Snead in my... Oh, I did. I ranked him 57th out of wide receivers.
Jesus. You know, you realize as a rookie last year, he finished 25th in catches and 24th in yards? That's pretty impressive. Obviously, a lot of that is Drew Brees, but he also only dropped 2 passes all year. So this guy's... I feel like he's a lot more talented than you think.
Do you realize as a fantasy analyst, you ranked him 55th?
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to move him up. So
let's move on to Tyler Boyd, who gets drafted by Cincinnati. They go out and Cincinnati signs Brandon LaFell. Is Boyd a guy that is going to make an impact this year, Eli?
No. How about that for fantasy analysis?
There we go. Scott, what are your thoughts on Tyler Boyd?
I think Tyler Boyd could absolutely make an impact this year. It's not that I like Tyler Boyd. I mean, I do like Tyler Boyd, but it's more that I don't like Brandon LaFell. He drops the ball all the time. I know he's a vet, but somebody's going to have to, you know, with Tyler Eifert missing time and being constantly injured, you know, can A.J. Green really see, you know, I mean, Jesus, he's probably on this pace with this receiving squad to see 300 targets this year. So somebody has to take some away from him. If LaFell's not getting the job done early, Tyler Boyd will slide right in there, regardless of who else is there. So I feel like he could make an impact down the stretch, but a lot like with these other guys. And I think this is a big thing with this entire wide receiving options outside of maybe Shepard, Coleman, and Treadwell. I'm probably not drafting any of them. So they're probably late season pickups.
I just feel like Boyd is he's not a burner. He's not exactly a huge red zone target. So I just don't think he brings a lot of he's not very dynamic, so I just don't think he's going to carve out much of a role right now.
Yeah.
PPR.
Yeah, I think he's a good PPR guy. I agree with Scott in terms of Brandon LaFell, as I don't like Brandon LaFell. So, and they need another option outside of A.J. Green, so I think Boyd has a real shot to do it. But like Scott said, I think this is waiver wire fodder outside of deeper leagues or dynasty leagues. But I do like him as a guy that could contribute this year. Let's move over to a guy that I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing his first name, Leonate Carew. How did he, Scott?
Was that for real?
Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce his first name.
Did it sound like he was kidding?
It's Leonte.
Leonte.
That's not even that hard, Justin. I don't get it.
This is like the substitute teacher episode on, or a skit on Key
Jack
and Peele.
Jack Quellen.
A-A-Ron.
I mean, A-A-Ron.
I mean, his name is Leon with T-E at the end. Like, come on, man.
I guess I could have looked at it that way. I looked at it as Leo with N-T-E at the end.
Oh, you did.
Leonte Carew could be the most skilled wide receiver in this draft class. He's a goddamn idiot, though. He's always causing a bunch of shitty problems. He got kicked off Rutgers and then brought back because he beat the crap out of his girlfriend, but then she didn't press charges, so they couldn't really keep him off the team. It's a whole thing with Leonte Carew. You know, they've got so many options in Miami with Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker that he's not going to make any noise this year anyway. So while he is super skilled, I don't think he's going to keep his nose clean enough to be of value in the future. And there's too many guys in front of him this year, so he's just a guy I'm not taking.
Yeah, I think this was a theme of their draft. You know, they took Tunsil, and then they took Carew. So I like him in dynasty formats as a guy that could emerge later on. But I agree, in terms of redraft, I think he's a waiver wire guy. He's a guy to put on your watch list to see if something happens. But I do agree that he is one of the more talented guys in this draft class. Eli, any thoughts on Carew?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I just feel like what he does, Jarvis Landry does better, and he's already proven it. And then obviously Devontae Parker is the big play guy. So when is Carew ever going to get significant playing time? I don't think it's going to be this year. I don't think it's going to be next year. And like Scott said, at some point, Carew's probably going to do something to screw it up. So I just think he's in a terrible situation, honestly.
All right. The last three guys I'm just going to throw out to you. Tell me which one you guys like the most for this year and then for going forward. I'll start with we'll talk about Braxton Miller, Malcolm Mitchell, and Rashard Higgins. Eli, what are your thoughts on these three guys?
Malcolm Mitchell. I just think he's got the best quarterback thrown to him. And other than Edelman, what do the Patriots really have? I mean, maybe Chris Hogan will...
Amendola. Gronk. Yeah. Martellus Bennett.
I'm Keyshawn talking Martin. About... All right, first of all, relax. All right, Keyshawn Martin, get out of here with this shit.
Is Dobson still on that roster?
Devin Lucian, Chris Harper, Nate Washington.
All right, now I'm getting angry.
You asked. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think, other than Edelman, and first of all, these guys get hurt. None of these guys are all that talented. None of these guys are a big part of the future, I don't think. So I think Malcolm Mitchell has a chance. I don't like any rookie receivers for the most part. I just think he's got the best situation. So I'm going to roll with him this year.
Scott, out of those three, who do you like to emerge this year or in the future?
Well, Rashard Higgins is my favorite guy as far as skill goes on this list, and I do like his situation. And I liked it a lot better when he was the three in Cleveland. I mean, now who gives a shit about him? He's the number four in Cleveland. So, but I think for the long term, he's going to beat out Andrew Hawkins for the job. And, you know, if Josh Gordon gets traded, if he can prove for a year that he's good to go and gets traded or released or however that works, I think Higgins could have some impact. But, you know, I don't like any of these guys. And I would say Will Fuller is the guy because you put Braxton Miller on here. But I would say that Will Fuller is more of a guy I would look for in Houston. It's possible for him to take the number two role there. I still like Jaylen Strong, and I think he's got a year ahead of Will Fuller. So he's another guy that, you know, maybe not an immediate impact, but at the end of the year. So that's a guy I would look for.
Yeah, I like Malcolm Mitchell for this year. Will Fuller is a good name. I can't believe I left him off of here. I do like Higgins long term. But I think you're right. It's just too crowded with Josh Gordon being reinstated for him to really make an impact this year, though. Who knows? You know, if Hawkins struggles, if something happens with Gordon in terms of trade or another suspension, Higgins could kind of establish himself earlier than kind of anticipated. But for me, I think Mitchell has kind of the best playing path out of this, out of these three. So I'm going to agree with Eli there.
Boom, take that, Scott, you chump.
Well, we'll see. What's your over-under on Malcolm Mitchell catches?
I think they all suck. He made me pick between three shitty options, all right? What do you want me to do?
Well, I mean, if you're going to call me a chump, I just figured you would have a stat line ready to go for Malcolm Mitchell. I wasn't sure.
7 catches for 35 yards.
I'll take the over on that. What about, we didn't mention Tajae Sharpe. I like him too.
Hey, UMass product. That's where I went, baby.
Yeah, I like Tajae Sharpe a lot. You know, I do think that it's, you know, them having him at number two on the depth chart is a bit of a joke. It's just, you know, hey, Doriel Green Beckham, this rookie from UMass is ahead of you. You know, get inspired or whatever.
Hey, he's the new Victor Cruz, UMass product. Come on now.
Right, right. Hey, I brought him up. I said I like him.
I know.
He's another guy that no one is really talking about, and I think that he could wind up getting a starting role on that team by the end of the year because their options in Tennessee are bad outside.
Well, if you ask Justin, Kendall Wright's like a superstar, I think.
Is that right? Kendall Wright.
I was a big Kendall Wright. I've been a big Kendall Wright fan. I still believe that he will rebound. I'm not saying he's a superstar.
Yeah, Justin's also a giant Brian Quick fan, so, you know.
I was, yes, yes. I was a giant Brian Quick fan, but...
You like Rams cast-offs. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was a big fan of Nick Foles, too. Are we just going to bring up all the guys I fucked up on last year?
Hey, the Redskins are looking at Nick Foles. I think they're kicking the tires on him, aren't they?
He'd be the best quarterback on that roster.
He would not.
Mm. Yeah.
You have Colt McCoy.
Get out of here.
I was about to say the rookie they drafted is probably the best one on the roster, and I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah, he must be real good if you don't know
Indiana
the guy.
Indiana quarterback, Sudfeld.
Nate Sudfeld, yeah.
I think he's the best quarterback on that roster, personally.
I still like Cousins. I know he. I know he's not fantastic, but I think...
As a fantasy quarterback, he's great, and I'm going to have him as a, you know, a QB1 in 12-team leagues, you know, low-end QB1. As a real-life quarterback, he is awful. He is absolutely atrocious. But
there aren't a lot of good quarterbacks these days.
This is true. Yeah, you look at – yeah, I was actually – when I was doing my QB ranks, I was like, Jesus Christ, what happened to the quarterback position in the NFL? But that is going to wrap us up. Scott, why don't you tell people again where you can reach on Twitter and what you do over there at In This League?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, B-O-G-M-A-N Sports, or Bogman Ports, like some people like to say. you know, my co-host, I Sit the Welsh on Twitter. Says that sometimes. But, yeah, we're doing ranked shows next week on InThisLeague.com. We've got quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and then we're going to finish it off with a mock draft on Friday. So we've got all kinds of shows coming at you pretty soon. It's going to be so much fun, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Scott. Eli, why don't you tell people where you can be reached and what you're working on?
Well, I know we had no time for rookie tight ends, but I think we should do rookie kickers real quick. What do we think about Roberto Aguayo?
It's good. Draft him.
I've got him as my I think I'm the highest on him in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits rankers. I
was kickers. Come on.
Eli made us rank kickers.
I don't understand.
What a fucking waste of time.
Eli made us do it.
What, just because you wanted to see where everybody put Aguayo?
I was one of two. I was one of two rankers to rank Aguayo. I rank him as a top 10 kicker.
If that means anything. Top 2-round kicker in the real draft.
Yeah, I mean, if that means anything, I don't know. I mean, kickers outside of like the top 10 kickers.
All right, let's quit while we're behind. You can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB. Yeah, good times.
You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Please give us a rate and review on iTunes. If you're interested in writing about football or any of the other sports, including possibly hockey, that we have at friendsoffantasybenefits.com, please go fill out an application. There's an apply button. It is an unpaid position, like I said in the last podcast, because the ownership group is still an unpaid position, still at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. But if you're looking for exposure, if you're looking to learn about writing about fantasy sports, is a great place to do it. And that
if you want to write about hockey, move to Canada and start your own website.
I like hockey.
I like watching hockey live.
I'm just being a jerk.
We know. For Eli, Scott, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season. That was a fun episode.
That was fun.
You guys really rank kickers?
Yeah, Eli made us.
I don't understand. Oh, God damn.
You just take one, right?
First of all, it takes like 3 minutes to do it. So sure. Why not? And everyone has one, and you know, whatever. Just break the goddamn kickers.
Kickers are like assholes. Everybody has one, and they all stink.
I was in a mock draft for Fantasy Football Magazine. And like afterwards they like give you this whole questionnaire where you have to like talk about certain different things, including your draft and then like what your predictions are for like each position and then for everything. And they're like,
that was like a month and a half ago too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was super early. And they were like, who do you think is the most, overrated kicker? I was like, any kicker you take before the last round.
Kickers.
Yeah. And they printed that. I was like, sweet.
Who's the most overrated kicker? Kickers.
Yeah, kickers are overrated.